Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's now time to turn back the clock and catch up with some old friends of A's past, exclusively on A's Cast. This is Where Are They Now? Vince Catronio sits down with alumni of the Oakland Athletics to reminisce and discuss current adventures. Here's Vince Catronio.
This is going to be a fun episode of Where Are They Now? Rajay Davis joining us, who didn't start his big league career with the Athletics, but maybe cut his teeth and had a chance to use the Athletics the first 3 years and came back in 2017 to build a 14-year big league career, 415 stolen bases, over 1,100 big league hits. How important were the A's, Rajay, for you to make all those things happen?
Well, actually, the A's actually gave me a great opportunity. I had just got released or put on waivers from the Giants, and so that was in a really low point in my career when I got that call from Billy Beane letting me know that, you know, I just got picked up by the A's. It was like a new breath of fresh air for me, because I had been home, you know, kind of pouting and crying and doing all that stuff because I just got my released for the first time. And that was a really down and low moment. But to get that call 3 days later brought new life. And that was one thing I didn't want to experience the rest of my life. And
you had so many great experiences in your big league career. I mean, like you mentioned, something that was negative that turned into a positive. And you're now working for MLB, an umbrella of a variety of subjects. What are the things that Rajay Davis is working on for Major League Baseball?
So one of the things is really just kind of bridging the gap with building relationships throughout Major League Baseball, player personnel, on staff, and really being a face, really showing up at the ballparks and, you know, letting guys know what MLB is doing with their marketing team, and, you know, how guys can help their own brands with Major League Baseball, and working together with the players, kind of promoting themselves to help really grow the game. I think that's the most significant thing that I'm doing, is trying to bring more awareness to what MLB has available as resources to really give to players.
You're also working with the future of baseball. You worked the breakthrough games, I think, down in Vero Beach. You've been at the Combine, which is in San Diego this year. You're a guy that was a 38th round pick, which doesn't even exist anymore. And if I'm accurate, if the story's right, you borrowed gas money to go to Pittsburgh just to go get noticed before you were even drafted. How important are those stories when you're talking to these kids and just saying, look, if you have a dream, let's help you follow and try to realize these dreams?
No, absolutely. I mean, it's going to take some really guts. It's going to take some heart. It's going to take you it's going to take a lot of sacrifice. But when you've already gone through that, you can share that with others and be authentic with it. You know, everyone obviously doesn't have the same story. But to have that story and to go through and to be an example, I think it's inspiring for a lot of young athletes.
The breakthrough games were for the African-American community. So when you saw those young players, those young kids trying to take the next step forward in learning and excelling at the game, what did you see?
So we saw a lot of talent, young talent, more like showcase talent, right? So guys are... they have the talent. They have the ability. They could throw along, strong. They got strong arms. They can hit the ball really far. But the baseball instincts, the ability to play the game, doing little things, going first to third, is where we come in as coaches. You know, me going down there to help coach these younger players and how we can play the game more effectively, right? And with being aggressive on the bases and. Not only just, you know, showcasing your talent, but doing it in a way that is could help your team win.
Rajai Davis joining us in our Where Are They Now segment, 66th all-time in stolen bases. That says a lot. There's been over 20,000 people to don a big league uniform. When you came to the A's, you had speed, and certainly those numbers indicate that you were a good base stealer. I wonder, how many conversations did you have with Ricky Henderson, and what was that like? Did you get a chance to pick his brain and maybe some of the things that he helped build or strengthen the foundation you had as a guy with outstanding speed?
I was fortunate enough to have a foundation coming up through the minor league system. I stole over 20 bases, or 200 bases in the minor leagues. But in the big leagues, when I got to the big leagues, it was a real challenge because now I was faced with analytics, you know. analytics suggested that, you know, I don't run, right? And so I have been this player my whole career, and you know, changing that, my DNA was not in my future. I was not about to change. And so when I talk with Ricky Henderson concerning, you know, stealing bases, and he's like, Raj, he gave me some great advice.
As only Ricky can.
Raj, hey, you know, sometimes, hey, you just gotta go. And he have these great excuses. Hey, I thought you said stop. You know, stop where? Stop at second base. That's the next base. You know, just like these funny suggestions that he would have. But, you know, hey, he told me, hey, you might just have to go, but you gotta be safe. He's gonna make sure you're safe, you know. And so I tried that, and I was safe. And then the manager was still coming in and try to, you know, discipline me. But, you know, his words were encouraging for me because that I was at the point where I hadn't really established myself at the major league level and stealing bases. And for him to say that, knowing I could do it, it really meant a lot and helped me to continue to push and to make it a thing.
Rajai, those seasons, those first ones that you played with the A's at 8, 9, and 10, in terms of wins and losses, really didn't go the way the A's had hoped for. How did you make the most of those opportunities and continue to build your resume as what you believe to be as an everyday big league player, which you certainly proved over time?
Yeah, so I wasn't, you know, when I initially came, I was there just to play against left-handed pitchers, and my goal was to be that everyday player. And Oakland gave me an opportunity to just play right at the major league level and really prove myself. And the thing is, you know, what I did to my credit was stay healthy enough to be ready when other players went down, when other players got hurt, when other players got injured. And so taking advantage of those opportunities was the key for me, just being ready.
I know you did this with other clubs after you left the Athletics, like with the Blue Jays and certainly with the Indians, and we'll get to the one of the most famous home runs in World Series history. But what was it like robbing home runs at the Coliseum? What was it like for Rajai Davis to go in the gap, leave your feet, and grab that line drive out of the air and have, you know, one of the most passionate fan bases behind you and recognizing this guy's having fun, he's playing the game the right way, and he's bringing out so much joy when he's on the field?
You know, I think it's one of the better feelings when, you know, you know the guy expects, you know, when he hits the ball so hard, he hits it so far, and you just use your speed to catch up to the ball, right? And catch the ball in the gap, or, you know, you get a diving catch, or you take one, you bring one back, you go over the fence and bring one back. Those are exciting plays, you know, that you remember, and that's all part of, you know, just having fun and playing the game like when you were a kid. You know?
What did you take away from Oakland as you moved on to other clubs? What did you feel like what was different from when you first walked through the doors as an Athletic, after, as you mentioned before, with you know, the things going through your mind about being a release player, maybe getting a new lease on life? You made the most of that over 3 years, and then you had a chance to go further. What did Oakland mean for Rajai Davis?
So in Oakland, I was able to be myself. So I played my game. My game was, you know, hitting line drives and stealing a lot of bases. You know, and I was able to, you know, drive the ball to right field, right? So that was my game. That's when I was at my best. I could hit for a higher average at that point. I can get on base, and, you know, I was able to play my game, and that's what I learned in Oakland, just playing, being who I am, you know, and playing that kind of game.
How hard was it to play on the turf in Toronto day in and day out?
Well, the hardest part was I had three monsters that were hitting bombs, and I wanted to hit bombs like them. They had Joey Bats, they had Edwin Encarnacion, he had, you know, at that time Brett Lowry was hitting bombs, and JPR in Syria, and we had some guys who could hit the ball long ways, and you try to fit in instead of, like, for me, playing the game that was successful. And so for 3 years, really, I got out of my game plan and, you know, tried to, you know, drive the ball a little bit more. And, you know, I think, you know, that's one of the things, lessons I really learned, you know, in those 3 years in Toronto.
I know one thing I remember, and I think it's 14, when the A's are playing the Tigers, and you're with the Tigers, and it was like the A's had a chance to sweep a four-game series in Detroit for the first time in, like, 30 years, and the bases are loaded, and Sean Doolittle's on the mound, and Rajai Davis is at the plate, and you spoiled everything for the A's, but it was probably one of the most magic regular season moments for you in your career. What was that grand slam like against the Athletics?
So we're talking about the walk-off grand slam on June 30th,
2014. Not that I remember the date or anything.
You know, it's funny because we had a little joke the following year at one of our events to begin the year, and I quoted that date verbatim, you know, because they weren't talking about it, so I wanted to make sure we brought that up. Because it was such a moment that I could remember. It was a moment that I dreamed about. It was a moment that I would visualize. It was a moment that it was something that I actually practiced in my alone time. You know, when I was at the house, but it was in that moment, and when you come up to a plate at that moment, you're like, oh, okay, this is what I've seen before, you know, this is the time, right? And you know, you expect to do something great in these moments, you know, but when you've already gone through that and done it already, you know, in your mind, it's like it brings you to another place, and to actually see it come to pass. In the reality, it's a whole nother thing, right? And so it was really, really, you know, because, I mean, that moment doesn't happen if the guys in front of me don't get on base. We're down three runs. It's the bottom of the ninth, you know, and, you know, Jackson has a great at-bat before me, right before me. Austin Jackson has a great at-bat. He walks to load the bases. And then I come up. And I'm like, man, you know, I know he's got a good fastball. I know he's got a good fastball. You know, it was like, okay. And if he throws me this fastball, you know, I'm trying to, you know, just maybe just hit it to right field or something like that. Just, you know, get a good pitch hit. But when he threw me that first pitch, it was a curveball in the dirt, a slider in the dirt. And I saw it so good. I was like, uh-oh, somebody's in trouble. In my mind, I was thinking, man, he's in trouble because I saw that too good. Like, I didn't even, like, flinch at hitting it. I was like, and then he threw another one. I think it was a slider in the middle of the plate. And, you know, it was fortunate enough to put a good swing on it and celebrate, you know, with everyone, my first base coach, my third base coach. And then Miggy meets me halfway between third and home, you know, to celebrate with my teammates before I even reach home. But that was such a great, it was a great team to be a part of. And it was a fun team. But to be that guy to, you know, kind of, you know, finish off that night was nice.
Driven in the air toward left field. That ball is deep. That ball is way back. And it's a game winner. He walked him off. Grand slam home run. Tigers.
You took it to another level, times 10, if you will. Bottom of the eighth inning in Cleveland. You talk about what guys got to get on ahead of me. The first two guys are out against Aroldis Chapman in the World Series, Cubs against the Indians. And then a couple things happen, and all of a sudden you choke up on the bat as you stand in the box. And one of the most magical moments for anybody to experience. Can you take me through it a little bit? Almost like slow motion, the way it unfolded and where you became Mr. Cleveland, and deservedly so, with that Titanic swing.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, when you're there on deck circle, and you're watching everything. You're listening to the crowd. We're down by two at the time. Ramirez just got a hit up the middle, right? Now he's on, you know, first. I think, I don't know how he got to second. So he scores from first on the double with from Guyer. So I'm walking up to the plate, knowing I'm the tie and run, and you know, knowing that, you know, with something special here, because this is, I mean, when you're back, I got to revert back to when I'm in Little League, right? When I'm a kid in the backyard, you know, and I'm thinking about, everyone's thinking about, you know, the World Series, hitting, being the guy to hit the home run, because I grew up watching Joe Carter. I watched that home run to win the World Series. I watched him jump all around the bases. That was fun for me, watching that. And so you want to be that guy, right? Everyone wants to be that guy. Not everyone gets the opportunity to. And so I'm coming up to the plate. And I'm like, oh, this is it. This is the moment to remember. So I had a prayer. I was like, Lord, help me. Because I don't stand a chance of this guy. You know, this guy is, he's a giant. I felt like David, you know. And, you know, I just had, I just asked God to help me and send your biggest angels, because I'm going to need help. and it looks like he came through.
But what about the swing? I mean, take me to the final swing and seeing the ball go down the line. It's a 19-foot-high wall in Cleveland. I mean, yeah. Sometimes guys would hit the ball and they would be robbed because of that wall would deny guys. It didn't deny you.
So I knew that if I hit the ball out front, right, I could hit it hard somewhere. And he, fortunately, he came into my happy zone. So he threw it into my happy zone, right? And first off, it's November, so the bat is extremely heavy, mm-hmm. right, at this point. That's why I'm so choked out so much. I realized he's throwing 100. I'm not going to be able to get this bat through the zone with the way my body's feeling. I'm like, okay, I just want to just throw a barrel. That's the only thing. I want to just throw a barrel. And, you know, I got a pitch. I think this is like the seventh pitch or so. So I'm gauging him the whole time and getting my timing with. And he throws another pitch down and in, and I just happened to catch it out in front. And when it left my bat, I was like, oh, my. That's for sure at least off the wall. Because I'm like thinking, man, this is going to hit off the wall. I'm like, and if this hits off the wall, I got to be on second. I can't get thrown out of second. I got to be on second because I'm going to score. I'm going to score this tie and run. I hit that ball and I said, wow, I'm looking, did it go? And then I see the ball bounce, and I thought it bounced back into the field. You know, once everybody celebrated, and just going around the bases was crazy.
Swung and lined to deep left field. It is gone!
It was unbelievable. I mean, the euphoria of that then unfortunately doesn't turn out the way you want it to, because the Cubs end up winning. Let's wrap things up with Rajay Davis in our Where Are They Now segment. How's family? How are things in Connecticut? The kid that grew up using boxing to help him get to baseball, and then how are the kids and how's everybody doing?
Oh, my family's doing well. My son is, you know, 7. My daughter's 8 now. I got my son in a little league. My daughter's a little dancer, so she does dance competition. She travels around doing that. And my son just loves baseball. And so I coach him up, and we're going to go from there.
Thanks for the visit. Appreciate it, Rajay. Great memories. And always good to see you. Love that smile. It hasn't changed one bit.
Thanks for having me.
Rajay Davis and Where Are They Now?
This has been a presentation of the Oakland Athletics.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.